Hello and welcome to Beating the Drum for Biodiversity. My name is Celia Carana and this is your podcast for understanding the importance of biodiversity for our health, our food and the survival of the planet.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Beating the Drum for Biodiversity. Our guest today is Bibi Bawa, an internationally renowned artist and proud saltwater woman who is bringing her generational wisdom and knowledge to schools in New South Wales. Bibi is working with Melanie Tyers from our previous podcast to build out the curriculum using art and the whale totem that connects all saltwater people along the east coast of Australia to teach children creativity, history, geography, and appreciation of the oldest living culture in the world that has existed in Australia for over 60,000 years. This episode will give you a greater understanding of the importance of connecting to country and to nature in order to preserve it. Bibi's storytelling is beautiful to listen to, and we open this episode with Bibi's acknowledgement of country.
I'm standing on Cammeraygal land, and I'd like to pay my respects to my elders there, but also to pay my respects to my culture and to the history that my culture has of 60,000 plus years. So I'd like to officially open this fantastic meeting today and this podcast. So thank you.
Bibi Barbara, thank you so much. And we pay our respects to you and your people and your elders past and present. I'm standing on Gammeray land and the Gadigal of the Eora Nation here. And we would like to pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this land and to elders both past, present and emerging. Always was, always will be.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bibi. Bibi, you're doing some extraordinary things. And we've been asked to have a yarn with you about some of the artwork that you're doing with the children and how it is paying respect to our country, to your country, to the land and the elders past and present. Could you tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Yes, well, I've been approached by a number of schools previous to that. I was working just voluntary at Cammeray School, and as a fantastic teacher there, an art teacher there, we formed a fantastic friendship. And so with my background of being an artist and been painting in the industry for 34 years, I felt there was a need to really bring culture to the school. But most importantly, it was just that friendship we had and how I kind of, you know, got involved with her art class, and it was just something that, you know, it just evolved. And initially it was something that we wanted to just give a window for children in the Cammeray school area, and which is in North Sydney, and to, you know, just give them that experience. And so over 7 years it was just, you know, a couple of weeks here, a couple of weeks there, and it really showcased, obviously, knowledge that was passed down to me, but also to the techniques as an artist, how I can translate that information but into the art form. And so it was just an experience, and it was an experiment, but most importantly it was something that we enjoyed doing. And now, 7 years later, or now 8 years later, I think, it's now become so well used and well obviously documented that the schools, obviously from Cammeray perspective, wanted more. And so then they asked me, look, we have some funding in the budget, and now the curriculum really wants to understand your culture, Aboriginal culture. So, you know, can you bring more? Can you help us understand? And the thing too is that when I look back and I see the nurturing for the school, they just grabbed it and the kids just loved it and they really wanted to know more. So then it gave me an opportunity to say, okay, to the art teacher, let's do this together. And so the principal then asked me, well, you know, Bibi, can we create some kind of program. So me and the art teacher decided to write a program up and do various fantastic projects. And so now it's been that I've been asked to do a demonstration of my teaching methods to about 19 principals around the region, and it just went off. It just went, my goodness, we need, our schools need this also. And so the methodology in how I've been trying to, you know, try to get the kids involved and also the teachers and understand culture through song lines, through my song lines, through the stories that have been passed down to me. But as an art teacher, I could see that, you know, the mechanics of how to create through a podgyny kind of presentation. And a podgyny presentation is where you are drawing and you're getting the kids to draw with you, and also writing it down on paper. And I call that paper the knowledge paper, because they're gaining knowledge and it's for their reference. And the teachers just thought it was really interesting. And so it kind of given us an insight to how children can be easily taught. But see, and this is what we learnt as Aboriginal people, and that's what was passed down to me. This is what you do, and we just copy and we understand it. So it's very interesting.
So you're learning through drawing, through connecting, and through participating. So the children themselves are doing the art with you.
That's right.
And you're describing, and your song lines, Bibi, that you're originally describing, can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes. Well, I'm just such a privilege to be a saltwater woman, because my background is that my grandmother on my mother's side is Dhurrumbal, which is Queensland. But her father was actually from Duncanjung. So her mother's, her great-great-grandmother's from Dhurrumbal, and her father is from Duncanjung, which is New South Wales. So here you've got this incredible two, you know, back in the day, I'm talking about the 1800s. And so this is where my grandmother now, with my mum, she's passed this knowledge down to me, and about women's business, because where her mother's from had passed down to her that her skin name is Lulu Gigi. It means water lily. So when you understand the cultural significance to country and to place, being Lulu Gigi as a water lily, she was also part of the tree frog, the green tree frog, and the snake. There's a snake there. So there's kind of different elements of cultural totems that is relevant to country that are so important. And when you go up to that area, it is covered in water lilies. It's just magnificent. So you can see why it's interesting for me to understand the connection to place, because it's through that connection of genealogy and bloodlines, marriage lines with my grandmother. And then on my father's side, he's pretty much from Byron Bay, which is Arakul country, right down to Eden. And they're all marriage links. So, again, salt water on both in two different states. And having those marriage links and going right back, it's just incredible where we have this tree scarring. They scarred the trees for boundaries. But also, too, because of marriage links, we found that our connection is right down to Tilba Tilba, to Gulaga Mountain. And Gulaga Mountain is called Mother Mountain to us in that retrospect. And it's a very spiritual place. And it's where things were created for the Yuin people. So then it goes into Yuin Nation. So you've got that kind of interesting kind of steps of different, you know, hierarchy of land and clans. And so for me, there was one story that linked pretty much all the saltwater people together, and that was the Gawa, which is the whale.
Oh.
So it's very fascinating. And the Gawa, the whale, is like we see it migrate, and there's one there was called Migaloo.
Yes.
And you know, so he'd travel up. But the story of the Yuin people about the Gawa is pretty much where the whale had four legs before it had fins. And this was told to us through cultural, you know, knowledge, and also to those cultural expressions that, you know, as artists we translate that and we draw, you know, beautiful paintings. But the importance of the whale, of the Goa, was to really look after the people, look after the tribes up along the coast. And another interesting thing too is that when Cook came up the coast, we were one of the first peoples to actually see him come in to Botany Bay. We were watching him for quite a while. And the translation of that was that they thought the ship was a big pelican as it was coming up. So, you know, stories like that passed down through those narratives are just quite remarkable.
For me, understanding your story is how much information is imbued in that symbol of, in this instance, in your story, the whale, you know, because you're taking anybody as you talk through it back to paleontology times, the footprints of your people with the dinosaurs. Then you're talking about the green frog and the water lilies and the snake and the whale and the marriage lines and the mountains and the geology and the geography and the history. And then also the creativity of drawing and how it's depicted. So within that picture, within that art, is so much information, so much knowledge. And that's something that we perhaps don't realize to the extent as you start to break it down for us. And the children obviously are drawn into it, it sounds, with 19 schools wanting you to work with them.
It's just overwhelming, my dear. It's just overwhelming, Louise. It's but for me it's the passion. It's keeping that song line, that knowledge alive. But also too, I'm doing it for respect. So they understand it, that the country they're standing on, that it has this other level, this other layer of ancientness, you know, it's the ancientness.
What you've just told us is so full of information and knowledge. It's really remarkable, Bibi.
Thank you. It is such a privilege to hold the knowledge that's been passed down. And I think as an artist, you have another kind of lens to translate that information also, so they actually could see it. And that's why the progeny kind of technique is when we do the whale and then we name it in language. That is so, it's concrete, like it becomes absolute, and that the kids then absorb that and then they visually see it and they're hearing it and they're sounding it. So it's that technique that is just so very interesting.
Thank you so much, Bibi, for sharing that. It's such a beautiful story and amazing to know that these children are going to kind of grow up with increased respect and knowledge about the land which they live on. You mentioned that you're going to be working in 19 schools. Obviously, that's a very large number of schools. Are you getting any help or support to roll this program out to all those schools?
So at the moment, we're working with about 4 schools. And that, and so at this point, but they're in different kind of time, you know, time across a couple of months. But I have been asked to put something down and create a program. So I'm going to be working with Mel Tice to create a curriculum for that, because it's just so important. And what we're going to be doing then is putting that together and submitting that. And, you know, that way everybody benefits. Everybody can, and I can also create that opportunity for other artists in different areas and different clans to, you know, come on and participate. And I think it's an incredible cultural learning, and it opens up all these avenues for artists to come in with the elders on country, from country, to talk about the totems in their country, you know, in their clan, and how and the methodology that we provide. Well, it's just incredible. It's these murals that we are creating that'll be shaped in the totem and in language, and that's what makes it so unique. But the children's artwork is therefore decoupaged very neatly onto that, so they have ownership of what they're learning and understanding, and they can see their work, and that's a connection for them on country to country. So it's a fascinating way. I think it's an incredible learning mechanism for them, tool, but also too, it gives me an opportunity for me to tell my culture using art, and also now other artists in different regions to use the same technique.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's exciting.
You're like lifting up the communities and bringing them into this journey. So that's, yeah, incredible to see that. And also that, I suppose, using art as that connection to country, and using that as the learning, which I think just the way you've described it has been really beautiful. Mm. Before this conversation, I actually looked up some of your artwork, and I have to say it's just absolutely stunning. So just
thank you.
I don't know if well done is the right thing to say, but just like I am in awe of your art. So just thank you for providing that to the world. For people who haven't seen your artwork, kind of how would you describe it, to paint a visual picture?
Well, it's a very contemporary approach. It's stories. So I started from my grandmother. She's the barber woman. And from that way, I've kind of extended the silhouette of her. And then I've evolved as an artist and used the flower of the desert, the flowers of the, you know, the lily, to really extend from an abstract perspective. With my grandmother, it was just the stories of the flower. And then obviously someone overseas in Poland had taken that concept, or that my artwork, and, you know, reproduced it over there without my permission. So that was something that I had to get into, to protect culture, to protect artists' rights, and to fight the case. So that's still ongoing. And so that's why I started to study law, and pretty much nearly, you know, just getting near to the end of it now. It's taken me a while, it's taken me a few years, but, you know, I'm an advocate for human rights, an advocate for cultural warrior, as we would say, but it's protecting and creating legislation to protect culture in Australia, but also around the world. I'm involved with the World Intellectual Property Organization to create and help and kind of, you know, get something on an international basis to help Aboriginal people around the world. So it's taken an incredible journey, and I've soaked that all in, and as an elder now in my community, I can, you know, I can kind of, you know, help others to see and to share that knowledge. And so it's just a privilege.
Yeah, well, I'm so sorry that they have taken your artwork, and I really hope that justice is done, and that you get recognised for that. And it's incredible to hear that you're kind of championing that and like studying law to sort of carry that forward. I suppose if you were to sort of look to the future, what would you say, not only the impact of like the work that you're doing yourself with your own art, but also with the school, mm-hmm. what's your kind of vision for the future? Where do you think it can go?
Yeah, in terms of the schools and having that vision, it's where the yarning circles are instituted in each of those schools. And with that yarning circle, it's a place to learn about culture. It's a place to understand, but also to having the artwork to really bring home the message that, you know, we're here on country. We're understanding culture. We're understanding Aboriginal people's methodology of looking after their environment, but also too is to pass out that knowledge. And so through the art, it's an incredible way where we can learn and understand and really be a part of the songlines of the future. And that's where it is, really. It's about being that part of that. And the yarning circle is there too. Happen.
That's beautiful. The song lines of the future. I think that should be the quote for the episode. Yeah, definitely that, like, creating connection to nature, to country is what we at the Beats are also like trying to do with children, to kind of build that love of nature in children so that we can protect it going forward. With these podcasts, we tend to end them with the same three questions. The first being, what would you want people to think about? That could be kind of resources, reading, or what you're currently thinking about. What you want people to feel, how should people feel about this topic? And then what do you want people to do? If there was one takeaway from this episode, what would you ask people to do? So I realize that's quite a lot, but the first one being that think piece, what would you want people to think?
I want them to think that having this ancient knowledge, of understanding ancient knowledge, that they can grasp it and that they can participate. And so it's about wanting them to think that they can learn about this, and it's there, the resources are there to do that.
Yeah.
It's not hard to get.
Amazing. It's just, yeah, making it accessible for everyone and it's there for them. Sure. Awesome. And then in terms of feel, how would you want people to feel, or how do you feel about this?
I would like them to feel a belonging to culture, a connection. And having that being, becoming and belonging is something very important. And I think that's the feeling that I want those children and also their parents to feel, that connection to country, because it is important, because it's the future generation are these schools, these kids, these brilliant minds that we need to nurture, and I want them to feel that the connection.
Amazing. Yeah, definitely. And then finally, do, what would you want people to do as the key takeaway?
The key takeaway, the doing, is so important, because it's about participating and really being involved in community, Aboriginal culture in community, like going to the festivals, understanding, being part of the music, the dance, the songs, the language, you know, learning about it. That's the doing. Impacted on your life. And so you can therefore, you know, be a part of the culture that's just so ancient. It's the world, oldest culture in the world. You know, living culture, continuous living culture, and that's something to be proud of.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Bibi, for sharing your wisdom, your learnings, your projects with us. It's been a privilege to share this space with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more great conversations, please click that subscribe button. And while you're there, if you can rate and review the podcast, we'd be really grateful. It goes a really long way to help spread the word. To keep up to date on everything that's going on with The Beats, the charity that sits behind this podcast, then head on over to our website at thebeats.org or follow us on Instagram at thebeats_org. Now for the credits. This podcast was produced and edited by me, Celia Kavanagh. Our amazing podcast cover art and music was created by Vinod Rao. Full credit and license information for the original sounds used can be found on our website. And that's it, you've made it to the end. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.